Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dexter's message comes from the Old Testament reading of Jonah, as you heard a few moments ago. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, well, since you're already standing again, here we go with round two. I hope you did your studying. I'm going to ask you a quick set of true or false questions to test your knowledge of the story of Jonah. So we'll save the sitting until we know that you got an incorrect answer. So just because I figured you might figure it out this time around, all right? So we'll do a hand raising or a non-raising, all right? So, number one, true or false? Jonah ends up happy at the end of chapter 4 in the book of Jonah. If you believe this is true, raise your hand. If you believe it is false, do not raise your hand. All right, the answer is false. Jonah is not happy. In fact, he's angry with the plant, and he's still angry with God's mercy to the people of Nineveh. So if you got it wrong, sit down. I don't think anybody got it wrong. Great job. All right, next one. True or false? The people of Nineveh repent after 40 days. If you believe this is true, raise your hand. If you believe it is false, do not raise your hand. The answer is false. If you got it wrong, sit down. All right. Jonah delivers the word of God, and the people hear the word and believe and fast and put on sackcloth, which is a sign of repentance. And this is before the word reaches the king of Nineveh, who does the same and then says, God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. So this has to be before, not after 40 days are over, because 40 days is when Nineveh would have been destroyed. All right, next one. True or false? The city of Nineveh is never heard from again. And I don't mean that we don't ever see the word Nineveh in the Bible again, because we know that Jesus mentions the city of Nineveh connected to Jonah. What I mean is that we don't find out any future history, further history in the Bible about Nineveh. No other stories come up that feature Nineveh. If you believe that is true, raise your hand. If you believe it is false, do not raise your hand. That answer is false. We actually hear from Nineveh by the prophet Nahum, who actually prophesies Nineveh's destruction over 100 years after Jonah. All right, so you got it wrong, sit down. Great. Last one. True or false, based on the Hebrew word translated for plant, the plant that covered Jonah was a type of ivy. All right, so think about plants that grow on the sides of houses, even up trees, right? Okay, so ivy, you can go to the next one. So the picture's up there. All right, there you go. Ivy, think of it. All right. If you believe that this is true, raise your hand. That the plant, the word plant here is referring to ivy in the book of Jonah. If you believe it is false, do not raise your hand. The answer is false. Okay, if you got it wrong, sit down. All right. According to the current use of the Hebrew word found in Jonah, it refers to the castor oil plant. All right, you're still standing? You win. Give yourself a round of applause. Then you may have a seat. Have a seat. All right. There's a lot more that made it to the end this time around. When you think about the story of Jonah, if you were to ask anyone what's it about, you're likely going to hear the answers in connection to what we talked about last week. You'll hear something about an unwilling prophet who runs away. You'll hear about a prophet being thrown out of the boat and swallowed by a fish, a whale, a shark. Maybe you'll even hear about a great fish that throws Jonah back up onto the shore after he prays. And maybe that's where it ends. I mean, it's where we ended last week. But what is this story really about? I'll give you a hint. It's not about Jonah. And it's not about a fish. It's not about the great miracle of Jonah being rescued from death by the fish. The greater miracle is the miracle of faith. The miracle of the people of Nineveh's repentance. It's about God and his mercy. So after Jonah is thrown up onto the shore, God calls to him a second time. This time Jonah does go to Nineveh. The only prophet to run from God and his call doesn't run a second time. And God says, call out against it the message that I tell you. The message that I tell you. Now, he doesn't say what the message is because the message hasn't changed from the first call, where God said, call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. The message was to call out against their evil. And that's the message that Jonah proclaims. He says, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown because you're evil. God is going to destroy you in 40 days. What did the Ninevites do? They believed God and they repented. And then they actually do things that are not asked of them. They fast. They put on sackcloth and ashes, both signs of repentance. The animals even got involved in the fast. They call out to God. They turn from their evil ways and turn from violence. And it's everyone in the city, from the least to the greatest. And even with them turning from their sinful ways, they're not entirely sure that God will turn from his judgment and still not destroy them. They're believing and they're repenting, even if they still die. In fact, like we saw last week with Jonah, willingly being thrown into the water, it's almost as if the people of Nineveh are ready to accept the punishment for their evil ways, that they're okay if it ends in death. And that's true repentance. I think the feeling of the Ninevites was similar to Paul writing in the New Testament reading from 2 Corinthians. They had received the sentence of death, but they know that God raises the dead. So from the least of the Ninevites to the greatest, they deserve death. And maybe God will not give them death. And that's exactly what happens. God said that he would destroy them. And in the end, he doesn't. From the least of them to the greatest, the Ninevites were saved. Praise the Lord. What's unfortunate is that you don't hear Jonah rejoicing. You don't hear him celebrating with the Ninevites. Woohoo, you did it! God wanted you to repent, and you didn't. He spared you. Jonah's angry. I mean, it's as if he's saying, are you kidding me, God? Right? They actually repented, and you're actually going to save them? You see, the people of Nineveh are Assyrians. And they were enemies of Israel. And so Jonah wanted them to perish. That's why he didn't go to Nineveh in the first place. He didn't want the people saved. He knew that God was merciful and slow to anger, relenting from disaster. God's grace had already saved Jonah's life. And he didn't want that grace extended to the people of Nineveh. And not that it tells us this, but you could conclude after you realize Jonah's true feelings that he goes to the city of Nineveh almost half-hearted, like he's just doing it to get the job done. God's going to destroy you in 40 days, and I'm going to be outside the city watching it happen. Like he doesn't care about the Ninevites, Israel's enemies. I mean, Do you want your enemies saved? Now compare Jonah's message to Jesus' message. Jesus comes along on earth and he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is coming. So Jesus calls the people to repentance. What does Jonah call out for? Nothing. Not repentance. Why? Because he wanted them to perish. He was just doing his job of warning them. He didn't want them saved. And when they are, Jonah says, therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. This is his response to the Ninevites being saved. Wow. Wow. One thing we need to understand is that this story of Jonah is not this glowing story of happiness and success, for everybody at least. You would be right to be happy for the Ninevites, and you would be right to not think very highly of Jonah. The other thing that I think that you can see is that this story is a very real picture of us in multiple ways, from Jonah to the Ninevites. From the beginning, God calls Jonah to call the people out of their evil ways. We are all sinners, all of us. We can be called out on our sins and be called to come out from our evil ways, from our lying, our cheating, our hatred, our greed, our sexual immorality, our selfishness, putting other things in place of God, higher priorities than God, people, activities, money, things. All of it we can be called out on. Yet more often than not, we like to be Jonah, and we like to just call other people out on their sins and the punishment for their sins. That, of course, being death. And not just physical death, but eternal death. Hell. When we think about sharing the word of God with others, there's two things that we share. We share the law, and we share the gospel. The law is what we are to do. Follow God's commands. And when we don't, it's calling sinners to repentance. It's warning of the consequences of sin, that impending judgment, death, if you do not turn from your sin. It's what the prophets of the Old Testament are good at. The other part is the gospel. It's what God has done for you on your behalf. It's the good news of God's grace and mercy, him giving you what you do not deserve, shown most clearly in Jesus Christ. The gospel is the good news of his death and resurrection, his salvation for us. And when we think about sharing the word of God with others, there's basically two types of people that we can share the word of God with. Those that we want to be saved, and those that we do not want to be saved. And sometimes we have a tendency to not share the word of God with those that we actually do want saved. Because maybe we're like, can the word of God really change their life? Is what I share with them actually going to do anything? We could also say, have you ever asked yourself a question like, does God change his mind? The answer is yes. We see it with Nineveh. Do my prayers to God actually do anything? Does God hear me and answer me? The answer is yes. Can some people hear the word of God and never change? Well, we have to leave the change, the conversion, up to God, not us. But certainly Nineveh did not seem like a group of people who would change, who would convert. Especially if we take it that Jonah proclaimed the word of God to them, and then he went outside the city to watch it be destroyed. I mean, like watching Sodom and Gomorrah from a distance. All right, God, I did my thing. I shared your word. Now you do yours. And guess what? He did. Just not how Jonah imagined it. He changed the people through the word. Thank God that his word brought the people of Nineveh to repentance. Thank God that his word has brought you to repentance. And guess what? God does his thing time and time again. Every time we sin, we need to repent. We need to turn from our evil ways. And he can do it for those that we want saved too. His word can change their life because the Holy Spirit works through the word, creating faith, leading to repentance, leading to eternal life. And for those that we do not want saved, those in your life, maybe you classify them as enemies. Maybe they classify you as enemies. Those who you want to share the word of God with the least. We don't share the word of God with them. Sometimes we don't because we would end up feeling like Jonah, right? I didn't want them to be saved. And so rather than seeing them turn from their evil ways and live, I'd rather be the one who dies instead. And that's what Jonah says. Or we could really say that the message is this. If that guy is going to be in heaven, I don't want to be there. And if you think about that, I mean, that's pretty selfish on our part. How much do you have to hate somebody to feel that way? That if they're going to be in heaven, you don't want to be there. What makes you any better than that person? That you don't want them in heaven. Why do you deserve it, but not them? How would you feel if those who brought the word of God, brought God's word of law and gospel, looked at you and said, "No, I don't want you to be saved." So when you see Jonah and he sees Nineveh repent and he's not happy, it's pretty selfish on his part to say, "It's better for me to die than to live." Again, we're no different than the people of Nineveh. We all sin. We are all deserving of death. And those that we think are worthy of God's condemnation, well, we are also worthy of God's condemnation. Yet God has shown us his grace and his mercy. He could have easily destroyed us a million times over for all of our evil ways. Yet he is also patient with us, not wanting us to perish, as Jonah knows, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Because God wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. If we're like Jonah and we're sitting outside watching, waiting for God to bring about destruction, condemnation on people that we don't want saved, what we would see instead is God's punishment being rained down upon Jesus instead of us, instead of everyone else. God's wrath being delivered upon Christ on the cross. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but Christ takes our death in order to give us life. How the book of Jonah should have ended is this. Jonah saying, "Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and for turning the people to you, for bringing about their repentance. thank you, Lord, for saving them. Except it doesn't. And we don't hear any more from Jonah. And that's okay. Because the book of Jonah isn't about Jonah. All the prophets, sinful as they are, they're not pointing to themselves. They're pointing to God. Because it's about his mercy being given. His power to save. And rather than being upset with who God saves, we should be thankful that God has saved us. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me, for my sins, to bring me forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus rising from the dead for me, assuring me that by faith I too will rise again. Thank you, Lord, for securing my eternal life through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word, which creates faith by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me into your family through baptism, marking me as your redeemed child. Thank you, Lord, for giving me your body and blood in your supper. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And that is what he has done. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.